Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ said to the 12, I chose you out of the world. The choosing of Christians, of disciples, is a matter of pure grace. The Lord chooses us. We do not choose him. Today is St. Matthew, apostle and evangelist. The Holy Gospel is from the pen of Matthew himself. In his Gospel, Matthew identifies himself only twice, and he lists himself in somewhat of an unfavorable light. He is always Matthew the tax collector. Far from presenting a favorable resume, Matthew presents himself as the most unlikely candidate for discipleship. By doing this, Matthew is not calling attention to himself, but rather to the incredible mercy of Jesus. And because of that, I'm not going to deal with this text like some fundamentalist who puts the terrible sinner at center stage, making a celebrity out of him. The traditional symbol for St. Matthew is a coat of arms that has three money bags, a constant reminder of his former way of life. Our hymn of the day fastens on that aspect, asking God to deliver us from all unrighteous mammon. Matthew was a man who had been rather successful in his life, and without question, we would have called him upwardly mobile. His job afforded him the opportunity to earn large commissions and bonuses, a very comfortable life. But material success was not all that it was cracked up to be, because Matthew was an outcast from his society. And while having great financial success, Matthew was a bottom feeder. He was a person who lived only for himself, and what is more, he didn't care about other people and how he got his money. Such a person Jesus called to be a disciple. This disciple would also become an evangelist. In a most unlikely place, Jesus finds Matthew. He calls him to follow him, and Matthew literally walks away from it all. It is amazing. I find it rather interesting that the call of Matthew is nestled in a series of miracle accounts. Beginning in chapter 8, there is a series of healing miracles, along with Jesus' stilling of the storm, the waves, and the wind. He casts out demons and sends them into a herd of swine. He heals a paralytic, forgiving his sins, earning the wrath of the scribes. And then there is the calling of Matthew. Here is the real miracle account. To suspend the laws of nature tends to impress us, but we should be more impressed that Jesus has mercy on sinners. To such people Jesus came. That Matthew repented is amazing. Luke tells us who it was who threw the dinner party in his house. It was Matthew, the tax collector. Matthew, the repentant and forgiven sinner, the sinful man that Jesus called and sought out. Some people are sick and don't know it. They walk around not knowing that they have received the death penalty in their bodies. And once discovered, it is often too late for them, and that's the pity of it for them. Those who know that they are sick usually seek out treatment, and if it's serious enough, will seek out the best medicine that we can find and that Concordia Health Plans will approve. We'll fly halfway across the country to get it because our life may be at stake. Matthew and many of his friends knew exactly how sick they were. He knew that he was outcast, cut off from the forgiveness of God. He couldn't even enter the temple area. He couldn't offer sacrifices for his sins. He couldn't get anybody to do it for him. He had a lot of sins, big sins. How could God forgive a man who had absolutely nothing to offer? The Pharisees simply didn't get it. It appears that most of them never did. They had their categories of sin, and into these categories they placed people. And at the bottom of their categorization were people like Matthew, the cheats, the scoundrels, the prostitutes, and the rest. The Pharisees probably never placed themselves anywhere on that list, for to them the call of God was only to acceptable people. The Pharisee in each one of us categorizes sin and sinners, and at the bottom of our list are drug dealers, gangbangers, prostitutes, wife and child abusers, and people like that. Probably a little bit higher up on the food chain would be white-collar criminals, cheats, tax evaders. And maybe on nobody's list would be those guilty of jealousy, envy, pride, lust, selfishness, bitterness, and hatred. For after all, those tend to be rather internal sins that nobody else can see. But unless you can see your sin and feel it dragging you down into the depths of despair and death, you will never see or appreciate your need for mercy. Instead, you'll keep offering those cheap sacrifices, believing that you are appeasing God by them. In the eyes of the Pharisees, Jesus made himself a sinner by eating with tax collectors and sinners. What dramatic irony there is in that. How right the Pharisees were, but didn't know it. Indeed, Jesus came to take on all the sins of the world, the sins of a Matthew. He became the biggest sinner in the world so that he could carry off sin in his own death. And in exchange, Matthew would receive life. Because of his atoning death, the sinners who ate with Jesus on earth are feasting with him in heaven. They have been caught up into the life of Christ. That is, they have received his mercy and hence his life. God's great mercy has been poured out on you in holy baptism, just as Paul writes to Titus. You were washed. You were made clean by the blood of Christ. You are justified, that is, declared not guilty before God. You were freed from the prison house of sin and death. You were given the life of Christ, all because of God's mercy in Christ. And this great mercy of God in Christ is distributed to you over and over again in the Holy Supper. Jesus comes sharing his meal with you. He invites you. He sets the table before you and distributes to you the same body and blood once sacrificed upon the cross. Here then is the real flesh and blood mercy of God. Here he unites himself to you as your never failing friend, the friend of sinners. And here at his table, you have a foretaste of a much grander feast to come. And by this table fellowship with sinners, Jesus restores, cleanses, and strengthens you. Here is mercy. Here is forgiveness. Here is life and salvation. Our Lord Jesus Christ continues to call the very worst of sinners to himself so that he may have mercy on them. He calls people who don't deserve it. He calls us. And this is the real miracle, that God has had mercy on us in Christ Jesus, just as he had on Matthew. Rejoice. Celebrate. The Holy Supper is ready. and Jesus calls you to himself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus.